according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been, what? Grieved by various trials. Wait a second. I mean, this letter, it starts off, it's like amazing. It's incredible. It's like, wow. And then there's this grief process. You're grieved by various trials. That's the reason why Peter's writing this letter. It's the whole reason why he's writing this letter. That is the key reason why Peter is writing this letter. Because these Christians, they've stumbled on something so amazing and so incredible, this gospel, this Jesus, you know? And then they're grieved by various trials, and they're going, okay, how does this all fit, you know? What's going on here? I mean, I thought I found the truth, and now I'm, you know, what's going on? What's happening here? Well, Peter starts off this letter. He's really laying the groundwork for the explanation, okay? He's kind of laying the groundwork here to explain what the suffering's all about, what the trials and the difficulties are all about. It's really what he's doing here. So let's keep looking at it. Let's go back a little bit. Let's look right back at it. Let's kind of pick this apart a little bit. He says, again, they've been called according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. He's basically saying, listen, the reason why, he's laying the groundwork for the reason why the suffering, the trials and the difficulties, saying you've got a calling on your life, and your calling is to be sanctified in the Spirit. Okay, what does sanctification mean? It means kind of a purification, purifying something. In the context of the spiritual meaning here, it means purifying something and setting something apart for special use for God. He says that's the call that you have on your life. You are being crafted into something wonderful and special that God wants to use. And it's wonderful what he's doing, this great thing that he's putting together. He says, for obedience to Jesus Christ. You see, God actually has called us to obedience. He hasn't just called us to forgive us of our sins. He has done that. Thank God. I mean, I'm so grateful for the forgiveness of sins. Oh my goodness. Where would I be without it? Where would you be without it? You know, we thank him. I thank him all the time for his blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. But there's this calling that he's got on us for obedience to Jesus. You see, when we responded to the gospel, what did we do? Like Harry said, we surrendered. We said, I'm in trouble. I'm a mess. I need help. You know, like just you name it. I need it. You know, Jesus, you're the only one that can help me. And Jesus responded to Harry. And he responded to each one of us when we called out to him. And he said, okay, that's exactly what I want. I want you to just turn your life over to me. Just let me be leader, okay? I can deal with this. I can deal with your sins. I can deal with the things you struggle with. I can deal with forgiveness issues. I can set you free from whatever needs you need to get set free from. But you gotta give me the leadership of your life. And so there's this calling of obedience that we have on us, okay? Now, here's the thing, okay? As we're walking along and we're saying, okay, I'm going to obey Jesus, right? It says in James, we stumble in many ways. We kind of go, whoops, we get tripped, we fall down. But here's the good news. Peter says, you're also called for sprinkling with his blood. I love it. You see, Jesus shed his blood not only for the forgiveness of sins so we could get saved and go to heaven someday. He's continually cleansing us from all unrighteousness. He's just doing it all the time. And all he's asking us to do is, when we stumble, is to admit it. You know, not to cover it up, just to bring it out into the light and confess our sins And it says in 1 John, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad? I am so thankful for that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, he'll say, listen, it's okay. You can hit the reset button. It's all right. I'm committed to the process. Jesus is totally committed to this process. See, this is the cool thing. He saves us and he rescues us. We say, Lord, be our leader. And he says, okay, I'm going to help you to do that. I'm going to help you to walk this thing out. He doesn't just say, follow me and tough it out, right? He goes, no, listen, I'm going to come alongside you and I'm going to help you. And if you stumble, man, just come to me. I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to wash you, pick you up again, and keep you going. And so we stumble, but we do what? We sign up again. We don't go, oops, that's it. It's over for me now. No, we don't do that because he's not doing that with us. He's totally committed to us, totally committed to the process. And so what happens is we sometimes, when we stumble, we end up doing what? We end up disobeying, right? We're called to obedience, you know, but we don't. You know, I'll give you some examples. Been doing this walking with Jesus thing for 37 years, so I got a few stories of my own, you know. But, you know, we get into a situation where, you know, just one example, there's a gazillion of them out there, but just one where maybe we get offended by somebody. Somebody does something in the church maybe, and we get offended and we go, man, it bugs me. And so we don't deal with the thing right. We don't reconcile with a person like Jesus commanded us to do. It's not a suggestion. It's actually a command. And we don't forgive them the way we're supposed to. Well, of course I forgive them because I know I'm supposed to, right? So I'll say that, right? But in our heart, nah, it's not really happening, you know. And so we kind of deal this thing, and then we think, okay, we're feeling uncomfortable. We're going to church. We know we're supposed to go to church, but that person's there. I don't know. And so what do? We end up, like, running away sometimes, and we find a different church. And then we go, oh, this church is so wonderful, and it's amazing, because it is, you know, because God's people are wonderful. And so we find that new church, and oh, it's so wonderful, and it's so amazing, and then everything's going great, and then, boom, another offense. Wait a minute, I thought I left that behind over here. And the Lord goes, uh-uh, no. You see, I've called you to obedience. See, I really want to get you to learn this forgiveness thing. I really want to get this down pat. So here's another opportunity for you. Right now, here it is. What are you going to do about it? And see, he will continue to ask me how I know. He'll just continue to bring us back around that mountain again until we obey him, until we deal with that issue. And then after a while, maybe we'll run into it again. But, you know, it's like, all right, been there, done that. I know what I shouldn't do and what I should do. And I'm going to do the should do thing, you know. And then what happens is we begin to see the fruit of that. Of the obedience, and then we can turn around and we can start helping other people. That's the really cool thing about this. We can actually come alongside and partner with him in this whole thing. It's amazing that he's actually called us to partner with him. I mean, it's just incredible. But he says, in light of all this, he says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. I mean, just let the grace and the peace of God, just let it flow over you in the realization that Jesus is totally committed to this thing. He's like completely committed to you and me. I love that. He'll like sprinkle you with his blood as often as he needs to. I mean, he's like totally in the thing, like really committed to you and to me. I love that. It's like, what a comfort. What an incredible comfort to know that. Now, he goes on, he says, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you can see Peter's excited about this. I mean, my text, it's got an exclamation point, right? Because it's really emphatic in the Greek. Like, this is, I mean, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's amazing. Look at what he goes. He says, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's according to his great mercy. I mean, we did nothing to earn this thing. We couldn't clean ourselves up in advance and become acceptable to him. That was an impossibility. And he knew it. And he said, I get it. But I love you guys so much, I'm going to do it for you. I mean, that's just incredible what he did for us. That he came down and he lived the perfect life you and I could never live. And he died for our sins. He took payment for our sins. He took the punishment that you and I deserved. I mean, and he volunteered for it, volunteered to be tortured for you and me and be humiliated. I mean, the cross, I mean, we're going to get into that in a few weeks, but I mean, you know, we watch the movies and he's got a nice little loincloth thing going around the waist. In real life, he was stark naked. And I'm just saying. Okay, talk about humiliation. Anyone ever been humiliated? Maybe even in that way? With your self exposed? Well, not on the cross, but I mean the full exposure. Full exposure, okay, to people you don't want to be exposed to. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, there's lots of stuff that he endured. He gets it. He really knows what it's like. He put up with it. He did it all for us. He volunteered for the job. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This, and it's according to his great mercy that he did this. And he caused us to be born again. See, when Harry cried out to the Lord to rescue him, Harry couldn't do the work in Harry's heart. He couldn't do it. God gave him the grace to be able to call out to him, to give him the ability even to do it. Otherwise, he couldn't have even gotten saved. But the cool thing is, when Harry realized it, the conviction of the Holy Spirit was on his heart. He said, I got to do this. And he did. Aren't you glad, Harry, that Jesus didn't say, I don't know about this guy. You know, maybe somebody else, but sorry, bud. Not for you. Jesus didn't say that for him. See, it was according to his great mercy that he caused us to be born again. He gave Harry the new heart that Harry needed. He forgave Harry of the sins that Harry needed to be forgiven of. He set Harry free and gave him hope and a future, which he did not have. And he did that for all of us, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This hope that we've got, it's living. It's real. Why is it living? Because Jesus is living. That's why. It's totally connected to him, to his person. Jesus Christ is actually alive right now. In fact, by his Spirit, he's actually here right now in the room right now by this, through the Spirit of God. He's here. He's present with us. He's living. He's available. He's actually physically, he's actually right now in heaven at the right side of the Father, listening to everything that's going on today, and he's looking into the hearts of every one of us right now at this moment. See, that's a living hope. I mean, he rose again from the dead. He's actually alive. He didn't just leave us with a nice little philosophy to try to follow. I mean, anybody, we're all given consciences by God. So people can make up some nice little religions based on their conscience, right? If they got a somewhat sensitive conscience. And we look at different religions in the world and we go, oh yeah, I could agree with that or I could agree with that. Why? Because we all have a conscience. That's why. Nothing special about it. All the founders of those religions died. Can't help us. This one can. This one's alive. He's alive. We can get directly connected with him. When we are born again, we get directly connected with the living Savior. So we've got this living hope. He's alive. Now go on. Now let's go on with this, because this just gets even better. I mean, it just keeps getting better. He says, this is what he's called us to an inheritance that is imperishable. Again, it's an inheritance. It's what is it about inheritances? You don't get to earn the inheritance, do you? I mean, somebody else did the work and earned the money and bought the property, and they're just going to give it to you because you're part of the family. I mean, that's pretty cool. You know, it's really, I mean, think about it, inheritances. Well, the thing that's really cool about this is he rose again from the dead, and he goes, okay, I've got this inheritance based on my resurrection, based on the fact that I've washed your sins away, and based on the fact that I'm alive. When you actually are born into my family, guess what? You get the same inheritance. You get to live forever too. I mean, that's incredible. That's what we have to look forward to. If you have been born again and you have put your hope in Jesus Christ, and by the way, if you haven't, please do. I mean, why wouldn't you want to, really? I mean, really? I mean, why would you not want to be born again into a living hope like this? I mean, eternal life, like forever. That's like just like forever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, totally, totally awesome, totally amazing. And so this is the promise. He says, born to a living hope. Okay, an inheritance that is imperishable. I mean, it is based on his resurrection. You cannot take this thing away. It's never going to end. It cannot be destroyed. Your inheritance of new life forever and ever and ever, nobody can steal it from you. That's just so amazing. It can't be destroyed. It can't be destructed. It's undefiled. It's totally pure. There's nothing sinful about it. In the age to come, totally free from any influence of sin or bad. I mean, completely. Like 100%, like nothing bad about it at all. Totally undefiled. It's totally pure. I love it. He goes on, he says, and it's unfading. In other words, it's not going to be like it is sometimes in our life here, where we go through those experiences like Harry was talking about, where we feeling a little dull in the spirit, right? You know, because what's going on? Because we still have this old flesh of ours, right, which has got to be replaced with the new one, right? That's why we're looking forward to the resurrection. I'm looking forward to it more and more all the day as my hair gets grayer, right? And I get less of it. And I'm going, thank you, Jesus. The day is coming, you know. I'm going to get a brand new one. Well, we got this old one, you know, and it's been tainted by sin. And so even though we've got this new spirit inside of us and we've been born again, we wrestle with this thing. It makes us dull of hearing at times. And we've got this devil and we've got these other things and his demons and telling lies to us and using people who don't know Jesus to tell lies to us and sometimes even doing it through people who do. And, you know, I mean, it's just, there's all this stuff going on. And so, you know, like Harry said, we can get a little dull of hearing. We get a little bit down. We feel like the excitement wore off a little bit and God has to kind of renew us again and again. Well, the cool thing is the inheritance on the day when, and we're going to see when that day is in just a second, it's unfading, okay? It's like joy, like on steroids forever, okay? Joy forever. Totally unfading. There's no down times, no like little dull of hearing times. No, that's never going to happen ever, ever, ever again. He says it's kept in heaven for you. I mean, how safe is that? I mean, that's like as safe as it gets. Kept in heaven for us. Who by God's power, thank you, Jesus. I mean, this is just getting better all the time. Who by God's power are being guarded. I mean, the God of the universe is guarding you and me. He's on a mission. I mean, he's really serious about this. I mean, he really, really wants to see this thing through in your life and my life. He's guarding us. I love that. Guarded by the God of the universe. This is so amazing. He says, guarded through faith for salvation. See, we got to exercise faith. That's what he wants us to do. He gives us the grace to believe, and then he says, okay, now do it. I've given you the ability to do it. Do it. Believe me. Trust in me. It's for real. It's for real. It says, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This is a really important point because I'll tell you, I'm with Harry, man. I get so excited when I think about what Jesus did in my life, and I'm so grateful for it, and I get to experience some of that now, but I'm telling you, we're just scratching the surface on this thing. Our full salvation is going to be fully revealed in the last time. That's a reference to Jesus coming again, to his second coming. When he comes again, I mean, then we're going to see how amazingly off the charts this salvation is. I mean, it's going to be, then it's really going to get revealed. And we're going to go, I knew it was good, but wow. You know, I mean, Paul says, eye has not seen nor ear has heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. It says in the Psalms that at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Wow. You know, sin can be pleasurable, but it's not the forevermore thing, and it leaves tons of regret, and ultimately it leads to death. But yeah, sin can be pleasurable. Sure it can. That's why it's tempting. Wouldn't be tempting otherwise, right? But the pleasures that God gives, he's got these pleasures in his right hand, and they're just going to never end. And they're going to be undefiled. There's no regret, nothing unclean, nothing impure about it, period. I mean, that's what we have to look forward to. So in this, you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So we come back around to that again, okay? In this you rejoice. What are we rejoicing in? We are rejoicing in the fact that this is the real deal, that we actually have entered into something which is absolutely amazing. And we're going, this is so cool. And this is like really cool. I mean, like, oh man, why wouldn't you want it? You know, I mean, why wouldn't you want this? I mean, this is so, so good. So he says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. For a little while. What does a little while mean? Does it mean like a week? Does it mean like 2 weeks? Does it mean, okay, Renee's just, thanks, Renee. All right. You're right. She's on to something. You see, Peter later on, in the same letter, in chapter 5, verse 10, he repeats that phrase, in a little while. Suffering for a little while. What is he talking about? It's clear from verse 10 of chapter 5. He's talking about our lives. Our lives. Our little while is our life. You see, whether you live to be 18 or 118, really doesn't matter. It's still really, really short in the eternal schemes of things. 18 or 118 is really brief, either way. It's really short, really is. So that's the reality of it. It's a little while. He says, okay, so you got to put up with some stuff. You're going to suffer. Why? But there's this purpose behind it. There's a purpose behind the suffering. The suffering is not without purpose. That's really helpful to know. I mean, huge, huge. He says, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. In other words, sometimes it's actually necessary. It's necessary. I wish he hadn't written that, but he did. I mean, sometimes we got to go through stuff. Now, there's some reasons for that, and we're going to look at that in just a minute, okay? But if it's necessary, okay, grieved by various trials. I mean, it's hard. Peter says, yeah, I get it. It's sometimes just downright hard. Sometimes you're going to go through stuff, and it's just difficult, just hard. He says, keep it in perspective, though. It's for a little while, okay? And even within this life, God is gracious to us, and he gives us seasons of comfort. He will give us seasons of refreshing. He'll do that in the midst of being peppered with the trials, you know? Sometimes, and many times, even as we cry out to him right in the middle of the trial, he'll meet us then as well. See, again, because this is a living hope, isn't it? He's alive, and so he actually understands. He lived as a human being, and he was tempted in every way as we are, and yet he didn't sin, unlike us, right? I mean, he was able to navigate it, and the scripture says he actually learned obedience. That means he knows, he understood. He went through the experience of obeying when it's really hard to obey. He learned it. He knows exactly how that feels. I love that about him. I mean, God doesn't ask us to do anything that he didn't volunteer for first. I mean, I love that about him. He goes, I understand, I can help you. I've been there, I've done that. I know what it's like. I know how tough it is. I know how hard it is. I know how you're feeling right now, and I want to help you with this. Because he really can, because he's actually lived it before. He's been there, he's learned it. So, he says, you've been grieved by various trials. Now, here's some of the reasons why. Okay, here's some of the reasons why. So that the tested genuineness, of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I love that. What is happening when you're going through a trial and it's hard, and your faith is getting tested. And really the context of this is the trial is based on your faith, okay? Now, there are a variety of trials that can happen, okay? Just because we live in a fallen world and we got broken bodies that aren't going to last forever, that's why we need new ones, right? But so we go through some of those trials, which just everybody goes through because it's part of being a human being. There's those trials. But then there are these other types of trials. We're suffering because of our faith, because we're doing the right thing. And we're receiving some difficulty and some trouble because of that. But what happens is, regardless of what the trial is, it tests the genuineness of your faith. You see, because you and I can say all we want, like Harry did, right? How wonderful Jesus is, how he rescued my life, how he saved me. And then, you know, what people really want to know is they want to know, is it for real? I mean, is Harry telling me the real deal? And when they see Harry go through something really difficult, and he's hanging on to hope, and he's got this peace about him and this joy, which is kind of inexplicable, because they go, if I was in Harry's shoes, I'd be a total basket case right now. But when they look at that, and they go, you know, maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe he's really on to something. But the other thing that happens, so there's an opportunity for witness that happens. It's actually what this is opportunity for witness. When we go through struggles and we hold on to Jesus and we walk it out in a right way, okay? I've gone through struggles. I held on to my faith, and that was about it, right? It's like I totally messed up and everything else, right? So there we go. I go back around the mountain again. The Lord says, okay, I'm going to give you another opportunity. Here we go. Round two, or round 263, or whatever it is, you know. And so you're going back around here, back around the mountain again. It's another opportunity saying, listen, I want you to get this right. And so we do. We come to him, we get help. We respond the way he wants us to. We feel his peace, and there's good fruit comes from it. And it's witness. It's a witness. It's a testimony. People go, it must be real. I think there's something there. I can't figure out why else would they have what they have unless it's real, what they believe. And so that's a very important reason for why we suffer, why we go through stuff, and why it's sometimes we're going, I have no idea what's going on here. I have no idea why, but I know God is good. I know he's in it. I know he's in the process. He's working with me, and I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to obey him. And if he wants me to forgive that person, I'm going to forgive that person from my heart. And I'm going to pray for them. And I'm going to actually do good for them. And I'm going to love on them. We were challenged in this, just to getting hit in that area. When we were in Turkey back in the 90s, we were in a church plant situation, a city of 1.5 million people. And there's a church plant because there was no other church in the city. Okay? Muslim nation. First church in this city in over 100 years. So there we are. We're laboring to see a church planted. We got offended. We got hurt by one of our brethren. Okay? Temptation was to run, to start something new, to find something else. There was only one problem. There was nothing else. There was no other church to go to. We were it. So the Lord said to me, listen, I want you to learn how to do this. I want you, you're going to stay put because I've called you here. I go, I know. Listen, you're going to learn how to walk this thing through. You're going to learn how to forgive your brother from your heart. You're actually going to learn how to do it from your heart. And you're actually going to get free from bitterness. You're going to be totally freed from it. And you know what? He did. I asked him, I said, God, I need your help. Because I did. I mean, I totally needed his help. And he's that living hope. And so he was able to come alongside me and help me and my wife through that process. And we really forgave these people from our heart. We really did. And it never impacted the church in any negative way. The testimony today, the Turkish pastor leads that church. He looks back fondly on those days of our leadership team when that church plant was started. He was in the middle of that, just a brother being discipled. And he goes, oh, those days were so wonderful. I mean, the way you guys interacted with each other, you were such an example. You loved on each other, all this kind of stuff. And I go, if you only knew, you know. You know, but that's the reality. It really did happen that way because we really were able to overcome. And he was able to forgive us, and I wasn't totally faultless in the process, just going to be honest, you know, just full disclosure here. I had to repent. He had to repent. And we loved each other. We forgave each other. And so that's part of what's going on here. See, our obedience to Jesus really matters. I mean, it really makes a big difference. But here's the other thing that matters about it. It says it's going to result, it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, now this is really, really cool. Because you know what that means? It says praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say whose praise, glory, and honor. You know why? Because some of the praise, glory, and honor goes to him, and some of it is going to go to us. Yeah, that's what the scripture says. 1 Peter 5:1, Peter says, we're partakers of his glory. This is what he's talking about. You see, on that day, the scripture says in Matthew 25, 23. Where is it? Find your notes, Bob. That's what happens when I totally ignore my notes, right? Matthew 25, 23. There we go. It says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." We're going to enter into his joy. And then 1 Corinthians 4, 5, Paul is talking about the judgment to come. And he says, God is going to reveal the secrets of your hearts to commend you. I love that. He's going to wash the sin stuff, the junk away. He's not going to talk about that, but he's going to talk about those beautiful things that happened in your heart. He's going to say, you know what was going on in Renee's heart when this happened? She wanted to obey me, and it was really hard for her, but she did it anyways. She received the grace of God to forgive from her heart, and I am so blessed that she, thank you for doing that, Renee. And he's going to commend you in front of everybody. Isn't that wonderful? It's amazing. Yeah. He's going to do that. That's amazing. You see, not only do we get this inheritance handed to us, eternal life forever, we actually get to make investments in our eternal inheritance now by how we live, right now, by going through trials and going through trials with him, walking through and trying to obey him in the trial and in the suffering. When we obey him in the trial and the suffering, there's actually, we're investing in our inheritance. Isn't that awesome? We're like adding on to it and making it even more amazing. I mean, that's incredible. And it's the grace of God that we can even do that. I mean, we couldn't even do that without his grace. But he gives us the grace to be able to obey him, to be able to do the right thing. Why? Because he just wants to totally bless our socks off. I mean, it's amazing. For like forever. I mean, he is so generous to us. He goes, you know what? I know it's going to be uncomfortable, Renee, but I'm going to give you this trial because I want to bless your socks off forever, and I want your inheritance to earn some interest. I want it to go even higher. I want to reward you even more, and so I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. I mean, isn't that awesome? I mean, he is so generous, he wants to even do that. Oh, yeah. It's like, wait a minute, I got to go through the trial, all right? Can't I just get that without going through the trial? But, you know. He goes, no, it doesn't work like that. But it's worth it. It's worth it. He says in an opportunity for witness. What's the other thing here? Yeah, we're being fitted for eternity. That's what's happening. We're going through these sufferings and we're learning, because see what we're going to inherit is this kingdom that'll never perish, and it's going to be filled with people who just love to obey Jesus. That's going to be a nice place to be forever. It's going to be a really nice place to be. I mean, no sin at all. And it's not because they're forced into it. See, God could force people to go to heaven, and that would not be a nice place. Really? I'm going to grit my teeth and I'll bang him, even though I can't stand his guts. You know? I mean, do we want heaven populated with that? I don't think so. You know? I mean, God is not going to force people who don't like him and who are offended at him, he's not going to force them into heaven. He's not going to say, too bad, you're coming anyways. No, he's not going to do that. He respects us enough to give us the choice. Now, there's consequences for it. I mean, this is such an amazing, astonishing gift that he has offered to us. I think we actually deserve to be punished if we reject it. I really do. And the scripture tells me that's the case. And when we see it, when he returns, nobody's going to be arguing it. It's going to be pretty clear. It's going to be pretty clear. It really is. And quite frankly, when you look at the evil in the world, I'm grateful there's a hell. I really am. I'm glad that there's something hell to pay, so to speak. You know? Now, God's mercy is so amazing. He wants everybody not to be there. He really does. But he's not going to force anyone into this. But again, the amazing inheritance that we have, I mean, this is just incredible. And this is what happens in verse 8. Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. I guess so. obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I mean, you're just going, Jesus, you're wonderful to do this for me. I mean, I didn't deserve this. I wasn't even looking for you. I was trying to figure out ways to avoid you. I mean, I was spending my life dodging you and trying to figure out ways to get away with doing bad stuff. I mean, that's how I was spending my life, you know? Like, can I get away with it or not? If I can, I'm going to do it. If I can't, all right, I guess not this time, but I'll look for that opportunity, you know, for the next time, you know? That's the way I was living my life. That's the way you were living your life before you were born again. And when you're born again, suddenly you go, oh my goodness, the mercy of God that he actually rescued me from that nonsense I was living in. Just that total darkness, that blackness, that hopelessness. I've got this hope that is mind-blowing forever. And I totally didn't deserve it. I mean, just totally didn't deserve it. And so Peter says, though you don't see him, you love him. I guess so. I mean, don't you love him? I mean, it's just, how couldn't you love somebody like that? I mean, this is incredible. Though you don't see him, you love him. And so we see that, you know, the bottom line is we win. There is a triumph of our faith. There is a hope here. There's a triumph in our faith here. There's a triumph coming for us, and it's still future. Now, we get to experience a little bit of it now, but my goodness, it's going to be off the charts one day. There's a triumph coming for each one of us. Now, a second point here that's in Peter's letter, and he's going to kind of get into it. We'll just read this real quickly. He goes. It basically totally makes sense to think of your life not in terms of 70 or 80 or 90 years, but in terms of like forever. It makes sense to think about life in those terms. He goes on. He says here in verse 10, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. He says, you know, this salvation that's been revealed to you through Jesus Christ, the prophets, they saw it coming. And they were trying to get the details of it, man. They were so excited about it. They were looking at it. I mean, they're looking back to Adam and Eve, and they go, there's somebody coming, an offspring of the woman who's going to crush the head of the serpent and destroy the devil, the guy who got us in this mess in the first place. I mean, we're going to get rescued from this. It's coming. And so they're just searching, they're inquiring, and they get some words from the Lord. They get a little bit of here, they get a little bit there. They begin to prophesy, they begin to talk about it, and they are just excited about what's coming. And they're given some of the details, the predicted sufferings, but also the subsequent glories. So there's part of this which has been fulfilled, and there's part of this which is still future. And so they were looking into both those things. And the Lord showed them. He said, you know, it's not just for you guys. You're getting this information. They were seeking the Lord. He was giving them. He was teaching them stuff. And he said, listen, it's not just for you. Share it. And so they prophesied it, right? And what ought we to do about this, right? We got to get this news out. I mean, this is really good news. You see, it's not just for us, is it? This good news is not just for us. And they realized it's not just for us. We got to share this. We got to proclaim it. And they did. They proclaimed it. Angels longed to look into this. So we're going to look at that, living in the light of liberty, light of liberty. Yeah, there's liberty in Jesus. But in the light of eternity, Pastor Rick's going to be getting into that next week, taking a look at the reality of that's the way we ought to be living. Now, also, he says here, therefore, preparing your minds for action, this is where we're going to end, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes, there's going to be so many buckloads of grace for you. You're going right now, you're going, I don't know, am I really going to be able to walk it out and never stumble again? He goes, absolutely. I mean, the grace is going to be so amazing. Set your hope on that, on Jesus, and the grace that he's going to give you when he shows up. That's where your hope is. It's not in your ability to totally get it right all the time. Thank God, right? I mean, you know? But what Jesus is doing now is he's conditioning our heart to just want to obey him, to want to go in that right direction, to begin to operate that way, because that's the way it's going to be forever. We're going to be in this mode of just obeying him, like all over the place. And we're going to be really excited about it, and we're going to love doing it. We're not going to feel like, oh dear, I was forced to obey Jesus again. I mean, we're going to be happy about it. We're going to be excited about it. It's going to be wonderful. Now, a third point in Peter's letter here that we're going to be looking at also in later weeks is the fact that Jesus is our cornerstone. He's the cornerstone of our salvation. He's the cornerstone of our faith. He is the cornerstone of how to live life. He is the ultimate example of how to respond when people are being bad to you because you're doing the right thing. He's the ultimate example of that. And we're going to be looking at that as well, at his example and how that applies to very earthy, real life things. I mean, real life stuff, really. Because remember, Peter says here, prepare your minds for action, right? Because this ought to impact the way we live. That's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, this ought to totally change the way you live your life. Like, living your life is totally different now. Totally different. Prepare your minds for action. There's change coming. Change coming in your life. So he's saying, prepare your minds for that. He is our cornerstone. He's our living hope. I want to preach on that so bad, but not today. All right. Hold back. He is our example. I want to say more. I can't. Okay, sorry. We're going to. There's so much power in that. Oh, my gosh, so much power in it. And a fourth thing, the real practical things, Peter talks about honoring everyone. How do you honor everybody? Like everybody. Because everybody was made by him, and he loves everybody. And he goes, listen, I want you to honor the fact that I created this person, and I'm deeply in love with them. Could you respect that, please? I know they're naughty sometimes, and they're not doing the right thing. I get that. I see they're naughtier than you even realize. Believe me, I know, all right? But I love them anyways, and I want you to love them too. And I want you to honor them as someone that I have created. Honor them. Treat them the way I want you to treat them. And so Peter talks about that. He's going to get into how we, you know, dealing with government, people, our employers, the people that work for us, the people we work for. He's going to talk about marriage. He's going to talk about church life. And he's going to say, you honor everybody in these situations. Okay, and here's how you do it. And he talks a lot about this word submission. Oh, my goodness. Really? We're Americans. We don't have to submit to anybody, right? We're free, you know. It's like, wait a second. I know. Remember, we're called to obedience. Remember that one, right? So even the hard ones, yeah, at times it's hard. And Peter's going to talk about how do you do it when it's really hard? You know, when it's just hard to obey and when it's hard to honor people because they're just being yucky. And, you know, I mean, how do you honor them anyways? How do you do that? How do you walk that thing out? How do you deal when they're just treating you, giving you a raw deal? I mean, how do you walk that thing out? He's going to talk about that. And fifthly, he's going to talk about, you know, how we stand firm in this grace, in the grace of God to the end, through it all. We're going to get into that also, that we can stay in this frame of thinking and this mindset right to the end, all the way to the end of our lives. And that, you see, because Peter was our example in that. You know, it's going to be absolutely worth it. Whatever we have to suffer on this end is going to be totally worth it. You see, a lot of times we think of suffering, we think, oh, yeah, that's like the people all those promises about suffering, that's for the martyrs, the people who get killed for their faith or spend 30 years in jail sometimes we're tempted when we look at persecution scriptures and we think it's for those people. Well, Peter was writing this to people who that was not happening to. Got news for you. It wasn't happening to them. What was going on? They just had somebody who didn't like them because they loved Jesus. That kind of thing. That's the kind of thing he's talking about. Somebody giving them a hard time. Somebody who hated them. Somebody who badmouthed them behind their back. Somebody who just treated them, gave them a raw deal, maybe fired them over their faith or didn't give them a promotion because they loved Jesus. You know, the kind of stuff that you and I can relate to. That's what this is about. It's not, you know, certainly it applies to the martyrdom and 30 years in jail and all that stuff. It applies to that too, but it really applies to all these little everyday annoyances and difficulties that we encounter with people, and sometimes it's simply because we love Jesus. He's going to give us real strategies on dealing with that. And sometimes it's simply because that person happens to be a sinner, and surprise, they didn't treat you well. You know, sometimes it's just because of that. And so Peter gives wonderful advice on how do you navigate this thing? Because Peter had to think about this stuff, I'll finish with this thought. When he is on, you know, when Jesus is getting ready to return to heaven, he has a nice long conversation with Peter. We see it in John, the Gospel of John, right? 20 and 21 there. He's got this conversation going with him. And Jesus gives Peter a heads up, and he says, listen, when you're old, you're going to get crucified. The thing you were afraid was going to happen to you is actually going to happen to you. Peter goes, really? You mean after I love on people and you told me to love your sheep and feed them and do all this stuff, and after a life of doing that, I'm going to get crucified? What about John? Am I the only guy that's going to go? He says, listen, it's irrelevant what happens to John. Totally irrelevant. You follow me. If I want him to stay alive until I come, what's that to you? And suddenly Peter goes, oh yeah, until I come. We're not talking about 70, 80, 90 years. We're talking about eternity here. He's coming again. And so Peter spent the rest of his life, had the beauty and the opportunity. The Lord blessed him with the knowledge of how he was going to die. Because what it did is it caused him to meditate on these truths that he shares in this epistle. That it's all worth it. No matter what I got to go through, it's just for a little while. And there's this incredible inheritance I've got. See, what is Peter doing? He's looking past the trouble in the here and now. He's looking beyond that to the reality of eternity. And he's going, it's going to be really good. Of course it's totally worth it. And it transformed him. It totally changed him from being a coward to being courageous. Just transformed him totally, because he got a hold of that. And that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants us to really get a hold of that. And Pastor Rick's going to talk a bit more about that next week as well, and really looking forward to that. And looking forward to this whole series. This is a powerful, powerful book. If we can lay a hold of the truths in this and apply them to our life, it'll just totally change your life. Really. I mean, it's really transformative stuff.